Okay, if you have your Bibles, we're in the book of Hebrews. We're just starting this book tonight. And I'm going to read from Schofield's notes. And I do not agree with Dr. Schofield about this, nor with the, six or eight consulting editors. If you have King James Bible, for example, it says right across the top of the page, the epistle of Paul, the apostle, to the Hebrews. Now, in the 13 epistles that we know that Paul wrote, in every one of them, he always signed his name. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, so on and so forth. And, 13 times he does that. But when we come to the book of Hebrews, we don't have that. And then I'm going to read a little bit of this in the Schofield Bible. The authorship of Hebrews has been in controversy from the earliest time. The book is anonymous, but the reference in 2 Peter 3:15, where it talks about Paul teaching things that are and some hard to be understood, seems conclusive that Paul was the writer. And then he says, see also Hebrews 13:23. All agree that whether by Paul or another, the point of view is Pauline. We undoubtedly have here the method of Paul's synagogue address. And no book of Scripture more fully authenticates itself as inspired. Well, of course, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And if we go back to, let's go to Acts. I think it's about the 13th chapter. Okay. Now, remember, Paul spoke in Athens, and they count that's the perfect sermon, And he was dealing with philosophers on Mars Hill, and he lays out his message. But when he comes to Corinth afterwards, Paul, speaks of being with them in weakness and in fear. And notice what it says here. Now there were in the church, this is the 13th chapter of Acts, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, I've got the wrong spot. Goodness gracious. Got to go further on. 15th chapter. Okay, let's. I marked the wrong. Let me find this. I get confused every now and then. Okay, 18th chapter. Just five, All right. So Paul preached on Mars Hill in the 17th chapter of Acts. And if you take a course in the art of teaching and preaching and so forth, they all count the message that Paul preached in that 17th chapter of Acts as being perfect. This is the ideal sermon. But notice what Paul says as he comes to Corinth. And after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, and his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for their occupation, they were tent makers. Okay. So then, when Paul came to Corinth, and we read it in the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, well, let's just go over there and read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Yeah. Okay, now, here we are. Now, okay, and I, brethren, chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech. Now, they say the message you just preached on Mars Hill was perfect. But notice what he says about it. I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that it says your faith, actually, that the faith of you, the body of revealed truth, the whole system of theology that God has given it, that should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or of a full age, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So he's talking about the whole Jewish system, the priests, the Sanhedrin Council, the 70 elders that ruled Israel. They didn't recognize, even though the scriptures declare that Jesus is the Christ, the Jewish people didn't recognize that. And so he says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them and that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. Okay. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man? Now this is very, very important. For your understanding, for my understanding. When I study, and oftentimes, as I'm getting older, my memory doesn't work as well as it used to. There was a time when I would never forget a reference of Scripture as I did tonight, But it's just, it's an old age. It's catching up with me. But it's God who gives us understanding. He indwells us by his Holy Spirit. He bears witness, or his Spirit bears witness with our spirit, that what? That we're his. Okay. Now, the book of Hebrews was written to Jews, and it was presenting Jews, the church now has crucified, not the church, but the Jews have crucified the Lord. It was, 3 days and three nights in the grave. He rose from the grave. He showed himself alive for 40 days. And then he ascended into heaven. And the disciples saw him go into heaven. Yeah. So, and the angels that stood by said, the same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. Now, we've been looking for the coming of our Lord, every body of believers since the first century has been looking for the second advent of our Lord, when he will come and establish his kingdom upon this earth. And the reason that it's taken so long is that God is a merciful God. The longer he delays his coming, it's just giving people the opportunity for the gospel to be preached and for their minds to be changed by the quickening power of the Spirit of God so that they might believe and be saved. Now, we're told after that we trust the Lord as our Savior, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, at this point, I want to go over to about the 13th chapter of Acts, I think, and show a bit of the ministry. Well, it's the 18th chapter. Okay. Now, I believe that Apollos, and I'll show you why in a little bit, but I believe that Apollos wrote the book of Hebrews. Well, let me just point it out. Keep your spot here. In the second chapter of Hebrews, now, okay, it says, therefore, you know, we've seen that every word spoken by the men of God, the angels, by God, God keeps it all. Therefore, we ought to give, in chapter 2, the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Or, you know, you've got something, you're carrying it, and you trip and you drop it, you know, and if it's, you know, you can lose it. If it's a fancy vase, it can break. If it contains some valuable liquid, if you drop it, it breaks and spills, and you can't get it back. Okay? So that's kind of like the things of God. We're told, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as what? The manner, the habit of some is. Now, you can have a habit where you attend church, it's what you do. Yeah. And then you can get, you know, that every weekend's an opportunity to go to the coast, to go here, to go there. You know, and there's nothing wrong with having some recreation in your life and doing some things like that. But as believers in Jesus Christ, our primary concern ought to be our spiritual growth. Because the more we know about our relationship with the Lord, the more confidence we have. Now, I don't like to be personal, but a little over 2 years ago, Joanne died, and Debbie was with me when she passed, and we were both watching her, and I had an oximeter on her thumb so I could watch her pulse, and Debbie was feeling it, and then it just disappeared. And when that happened, you know, neither one of us sorrowed. You know, neither one of us cried, because she had been suffering for 2 or 3 years before that with terrible, you know, some really terrible pain. She didn't complain about it, but, you know, she just endured it. So when that took place, in my mind, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and to depart and be with Christ is what?
Far better.
Now, in my selfishness, you know, and Joanne and I were together as husband and wife for just a few days short of, you know, well, let's see, we got married in December, and she died in
2019.
Pardon?
2019.
Yeah. Yeah, on the, what day of the week was it?
December 6th.
Yeah. She died December 6th. So just a few days short, 22 days short of our 67th wedding anniversary. So we were together a long time, you know? And the way I've looked at it ever since, it's no different than when she would, you know, because I worked in the commercial two-way radio business and I pastored church and so forth. So she went to see her parents. She'd get in the car and go. Yeah. And I never worried about her when she went. I just put her in the Lord's hands. Yeah. And really, there's no difference between now and when she made one of those trips. We're just not together. Yeah. But we're going to be. We're going to be for all the days of eternity. It's not going to be a marriage relationship anymore. We were going to be married, but we're going to be married to the Lord. But am I just being crass when I say I've never shed one tear, you know, or unfeeling? No, with Joanne's death, I've rejoiced because I saw how she suffered, and then I saw, you know, she's in the presence of the Lord. And I remember that verse over in 2 Corinthians where Paul said, I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I couldn't tell. Such an one caught up to the third heaven and saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. So Paul couldn't tell whether he was in the dump in his body that had been stoned to death or whether he was in another body in the presence of God in heaven. And he saw things in heaven that he couldn't tell us about because if we knew too much about it, none of us would want to stay here and preach. We'd just, you know, bam, let's go. Yeah. And, God has a job for us to do. And it varies with individuals. Yeah. With all of the problems that I've had in my life, with my health and so on and so forth, you know, rheumatic fever when I was about 12 and broken bones and this and that and all that time. I never ever considered that I would live as long as I have. And, you know, this is about the 4th of May?
4th of May.
Okay, the 4th of May. So then the 4th of June plus 18 more days, June 22nd. If I live that long, I'm going to be 90 years of age. Now, and man's age is, the average age is 70 years. So you take babies that die, old people that die, add them all together, divide by the number, and you have an average, and it's 70 years. Now, and the scripture says it will be 70 years. Now, it might vary a little bit, one generation to another, so it's a couple of years older, a couple of years under. But by and large, over the time since God said it, man's life has been average 70 years. Okay. So, the author to this book of Hebrews says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. It'd be kind of like Joanne used to tell me when she lived down in Georgia. They didn't have a well when they stayed with her Uncle Louie. And so they had to go to the branch, to the creek, whatever you want to call it, to get water. And, you know, and you have to do that a number of different times. And, of course, with those storms that you get down in that humid part of America. Lightning strikes and this and that. And they'd run back to the house. By the time they get there, most of the water had splashed out of the bucket. You know? And that's really the idea of let them slip. And, we started a church when we first came to Eugene. And due to some activity that happened in the church in Bellflower, a man came up, and he, just told tales while I was in California preaching. And when I got back, I couldn't get him pull the church together. Nobody would tell me what was wrong. They'd all say, "We love your preaching," this and that. But I couldn't get enough people together. I mean, two or three here, then two or three, but nobody would tell me what was wrong. And I learned later, the fellow who was a member of the church down there, he came up here And he had a very good tenor voice, and so I let him lead the singing. Well, while I was gone, he was singing, telling all the kind of things, you know, not one shred of evidence of truth. They had no proof whatsoever, but they claimed all kinds of things against Brother Stewart. Yeah, and of a, you know, salacious nature, and but they didn't have not one witness. No. Now, if we're going to condemn somebody, we have to have two or three witnesses. And if you don't have two or three witnesses, keep your mouth shut. Yeah. But it was just based upon gossip. Yeah. And so they brought that same gossip in here and to our church, and basically I couldn't hold it together. And then I became discouraged and quit for a while. And, you know, but prior to that, I would never forget a verse of Scripture. It just, you know, it was right there at my fingertips. And then afterwards, you know, I regained a lot of it over time. But, you know, it always costs you something when you wander away. It doesn't mean the Lord, you know, you can't lose your salvation, but you can get discouraged and quit doing what God called you to do. And so we need to recognize what's important and, you know, make it first and operate. And you're going to make mistakes. I've made my share. You've made your share. But the Lord knew all about them from before the foundation of the world. And I like to put it this way. And he saved you anyway. You know? So now, Apollos, who I believe wrote this, says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now notice what it says. Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and then, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. So the writer of the book of Hebrews was not an eyewitness of the public ministry of Paul, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was. Let's go over to the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 2. Now we can read about the salvation of Paul in the Acts, the 9th chapter. And but he tells us what happened. Let me back up here just a little bit. Now, Paul had gone into the area of Galatia, which is basically Asia Minor, what today we would call Turkey. You know, and just like you have states, and then you have counties, and then you have cities. You know? And so, you know, when we talk about Galatia, that's the overall area. You know, and then you get down to a particular province, and then down to a particular city. So it seems like, you know, I went here from here to there, here to here. It's like saying, well, I started in Lane County, and then we went to Multnomah County and this and that, you know. And we worked a while in Portland. We worked a while in Salem and so on. And you go to the different counties, the different cities. And that's what Paul's first missionary journey was about. But Paul signed every epistle which he wrote. Every one of them begins, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, you know. And it's in every one of them. But this book of Hebrews doesn't say that. Now, Paul says in verse 10 of the first chapter, for do I now persuade men or God? Or am I now persuaded of men or of God? So where does your persuasion as to what you believe come from? You know, if you have someone who's preaching and they're preaching the truth, Yes, you can be persuaded by men, and rightfully so. But it is when you agree with God. Say, for am I now persuaded of men or of God? For do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men. Now, Paul was, I believe, the rich young ruler. And he, went to the Lord, said, what good thing must I do? And the Lord, told him to keep the commandment. All these I did from my youth up. What lack I yet? And then he says, if thou wilt be perfect, sell what you have. Well, he was covetous. He admits it in his epistle. And we're talking about Paul, who didn't write Hebrews. But when Paul wrote to anyone, he always signed the book. Now, we're going to see it here in a minute. For am I now persuaded of men or of God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. That is, it doesn't have its source in man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. But what? The Lord met him on the road to Damascus. Then he told him to go into Damascus. He blinded him, and he told him that a man would come to him and restore his sight. Yeah. And after that, he preached in the synagogue, and they didn't receive it very well. And then he went into Arabia for 3 years. Now, our Lord ministered with his apostles for how long?
3 years.
3 years. Now, Judas is set aside. He was of the devil. And they have an election in the first chapter of Acts. And it's interesting. The fellow they elected in the first chapter of Acts, you never read about him ever again. But it's supposed to be the Acts of the Apostles. Now, up until Paul's salvation in the 9th chapter, what is the book of Acts mostly about? The ministry of Peter. Okay. It's one of the apostles, Peter. First 9 chapters, actually about 7.5, taking bits and pieces. But it's about Peter. And then after Paul saved in the 9th chapter, the remainder of the book is about the ministry of the apostle Paul. So Paul was an apostle, not of men, but of God. And he always signed his books that way. So then he spent 3 years in Arabia with the Lord. So how long did the Lord spend with his disciples? 3 years. So went to the same Bible college. Only one was under the old covenant, and Paul under the new covenant. Now let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. And this is the portion of Scripture that they cite to indicate that Paul is more than likely the author. So, where do I want to begin here? Okay, let's begin at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, your manner of life, and godliness? Godliness is imputed. It's not something that we perform. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for what? New heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now, we have a relationship with the Lord if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So we make mistakes. We not acknowledge them before the Lord. They're under the blood. They'll never be remembered against us. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking of them, in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, under their own destruction. Now they use this as a proof text that Peter, or that Paul, that Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. See? Now let's go back to our, Paul went into Arabia, came back, then 14 years after, this is just before he begins his missionary journeys and so forth. Now, where do I want to be now? Let's go to Corinthians. I should have written some notes down, but I didn't. Okay, we read the portion of Scripture, how that Paul was with them in fear and so on and so forth. And then and he had preached what all theologians consider the perfect message. Yeah. But his evaluation of it, because there were so few saved by it, and that was at a time when God was saving great numbers of individuals. So, and that didn't happen. Okay. So, writing to the Corinthians, he says, who then is Paul? In verse 5 of the third chapter. And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. He said, I've planted. Okay. Apollos watered. Yeah. Now we're going to go look at the ministry of Apollos and see that it was companions of Paul when they heard Apollos preaching in Corinth. They took him aside afterwards and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. All he knew was the Old Testament presentation of the Christ. Once he got the key that Christ has come, fulfilled it all, and that's what the book of Hebrews is all about. Now, showing the Jews who their Savior really is. So, he said, I planted, Apollos watered, but who gave the increase? It was God. So, we're not to be sectarian, I'm the apostle of this one, or I'm the apostle of that one. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God, you're God's husbandry, you're God's building. So putting Apollos above Paul, or Paul above Apollos, or in our relationship with the Lord, each one of you has at least one spiritual gift. And as a pastor, I have to have more. But with more, there's more responsibility and so forth. Okay. He says then, you're God's husbandry, you're God's building, according to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder. I laid the foundation, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So, how are the just to live? The just are to live by faith. And what? Law is not faith. So, it's growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that teaches us how to live. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 2. Okay, now, I want to begin in the first chapter a little bit. But under the sun, he saith in verse 8, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. The sin that came from eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish. And we know this earth is going to, like a garment, be folded up one day. But thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture, thou shalt fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall do what? They shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand? Now, the Jews had a tendency to put great stock in individuals who had been visited by angels. And he came unto his own, and his own received him not. So the writer to the Hebrews is showing the greater importance of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ than the ministry that they had by tradition. Okay, and he says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Therefore, because each one of us is a believer in Jesus Christ, we have an inheritance which is incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for us who are kept out by the power of God. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we've heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now, neglect with me, old age, my memory is just not what it used to be. And I recognize it. Happens to old people. The Lord's still able to use me. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? Now notice. And was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Now, Paul, who signed his name to 13 epistles, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And in Corinthians, he talks about, am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Do I not have the power to lead about a sister, a wife? They're making up special rules for him. Okay. But one thing that the author to the book of Hebrews says, he was not an eyewitness of the public ministry of our Lord. Paul was. So, taking that portion of 2 Peter, where Peter said that Paul taught many things that are hard to be understood. Certainly. Peter taught some things that are hard to be understood too. And so does the Paulus. Okay. So, but what we need to recognize is, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Notice what it says, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord. So those of us that witness his public ministry, and was confirmed unto us. Now, what's he saying? That I was not an eyewitness of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. So I had to have his ministry confirmed unto me by them that heard him. Now, Paul was a rich young ruler. Paul tried to destroy the ministry of the Lord until God saved him by his grace. Paul was an eyewitness of the ministry of Jesus Christ, and Paul spent 3 years with the Lord in Arabia, according to the book of Galatians. Okay. So, the same length of time that the apostles were trained, Paul was trained. And to be an apostle, you have to be an eyewitness. And Paul always said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, under the church here, there, whatever, and so forth. God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So, the author to the book of Hebrews, was not an eyewitness of the public ministry of Jesus Christ. Then as we look at him, let's look at his ministry when he was with Aquila and Priscilla. They took him aside and expounded unto him the word of God more perfectly. And a certain Jew named Apollos, verse 24 of the 18th chapter of Acts. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, what? An eloquent man. And what do the people say? Oh, you know, when Apollos speaks, he really lays it out. You know, and they, you know, and they would talk about Paul and his bodily presence is contemptible. So, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Now, it's pretty obvious that the writer of the book of Hebrews was mighty in the scriptures, and primarily we're talking about the Old Testament scriptures. And so this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So, he didn't know anything about the public ministry of our Lord. He had to be taken aside and shown these things more, you know, diligently. Okay, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, this is when they take him aside and show him the things that he didn't know, you know, so that would bring the Old Testament into the New Testament, okay? And they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass unto Achaia, you know, that's what we would call Greece today, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which believed through grace. And now, as we unfold this book of Hebrews, and it was a little ragged tonight, but as we unfold this book of Hebrews, we'll see that's exactly what Apollos does for the Jews, you know, who have professed faith in Christ. He brings them all the way over in their understanding to the New Testament relationship that we have with the Lord. And we'll see Jesus to be our great high priest. We'll see Jesus to be a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There's so much in the book of Hebrews. And this man was eloquent. He was an Old Testament scholar, if you want to put it that way. But he didn't witness the public ministry of our Lord, so he had to have some things taught to him by Aquila and Priscilla. And once he got those, he had the key and pedal to the metal, okay? For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus, it says, was Christ. Jesus is the Christ. He continues to be. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, and now we're going to deal with Paul dealing with the some of the people that were baptized by John. But we'll get into the book of Hebrews directly next time. I wanted to establish the authorship because that verse in the second chapter so clearly states he was, you know, it was established unto us by them that heard him. So the writer to the Hebrews was not an eyewitness. Saul of Tarsus was an eyewitness. The 11 were eyewitnesses. Apollos was not. So, and he was eloquent and mighty in the scriptures, and his ministry was primarily to who? To whom, I should say. The Hebrews. The Jews. And so, I think the evidence negates what the scholars have said over the years. Yeah, I mean, everything that's in the book of Hebrews written by the Spirit of God. Yeah. All scripture is given by inspiration of the Spirit of God. So we've got one message all the way through. Old Testament, we see it in shadows and types. New Testament, then with the public ministry of our Lord, which was to Jews under law, to condemn them by the law, so that they would see that they needed a Savior, and many of them did and believed on the Lord. And then we have those Jews that were steeped in their tradition, and, you know, when Pilate wanted to release Jesus, what did they say? No, crucify him, release unto us Barabbas. Barabbas was guilty as charged. So who do you suppose Barabbas is a picture of? Moi. Yeah. Barabbas represents you and me, guilty as charged. And what? Because of the grace of God, through faith in Jesus Christ, we're released. Because what? Our Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, went to the cross of Calvary and bore our sin and was victorious over sin, death, and the grave. And because he lives, what? We shall live also. So it's not about us, folks. It's about our Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. And see that sometimes we're taught things that sound right, but then when we keep examining them, we have to acknowledge that when it's not quite right, we have to make an adjustment and not just madly go on with the traditions of men. Bless in each of our hearts and lives. Keep us strong in the faith and faithful to that which you've committed to our trust. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.